Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
We are back live from South by Southwest. This is Intel Chip Chat, and I'm Allison Klein. And I am delighted for this conversation. I've been looking forward to it all day. I've got Bryce Olson, Global Marketing Director of the Health and Life Science Group at Intel with me. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So Bryce, I was wondering where to start this conversation. And I guess what I will ask you is, you know, where did your journey begin in terms of health and life sciences and focus at Intel?
It was really kind of interesting because my journey with Intel's Health and Life Sciences Group didn't start until I got diagnosed with cancer. So I got diagnosed with this really aggressive cancer. I went through all the standard of care. Nothing worked. And not only did it not work, but I was going through all of this brutal side effects that are associated with the standard of care. And I started running out of options. And literally, I had, if you look at statistics, I had about a 20-month median survival staring me at the face. So I just said, look, if I'm going to come back to work, I want to do something with healthcare. And so I knew that Intel was doing something, helping healthcare providers make this transformation to this new digital era, but I didn't know enough about it. But I just wanted to have an impact on my last days. But what I found out blew my mind. Like, it changed the whole course of my life, actually. I learned about this new space called genomics and precision medicine that I knew nothing about. And Intel was at the heart of this whole thing, powering this whole new era.
That moment started you on a journey of getting your genome sequenced and picking out a trial that you would have never thought to participate in otherwise. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think what was really kind of inspirational to me is, you know, learning that Intel was helping these genomic sequencing companies improve their throughput so we could go from $2 billion sequencing that took 10 years to do it in a day for 1,000. That was cool. And then when I learned all the things we were doing to help companies with their analytics do faster, better, cheaper, that was cool. But what really inspired me was the customers and the things that were happening. For example, neuroblastoma, very rapid growing cancer that kids can get. The problem is it's so rapidly growing that if you don't pinpoint the molecular mutations, the things in the DNA that are causing it to grow quickly, you can never treat it because it mutates and morphs so fast. So we were working with this company called TGen, Translational Genomics Institute in Arizona, and they were able to go from sample to an insight, a molecular-driven insight within 14 days using technology that changed the course of cancer care for these kids and actually were able to give them a drug that would work. That's just one of like 10 different examples that I could give you. And I learn all about this, and then I get really kind of upset because nobody is giving this to me. So I go to my oncologist and my pathologist, and I said, two words, sequence me. It's what I'm wearing on my shirt today. And they said, you know what? We're actually in the process of doing it for you. We were going to give you a call because we found some interesting data on your tumor. Turns out that I have hyperactivity along this cell signaling pathway that was super mutated, like so mutated that there's this, not to geek out too much, but there's this tumor suppressor gene that's on this pathway. The pathway's screwed up. The tumor suppressor gene that's supposed to stop cancer, he's gone. So it's like my body put a brick on the accelerator of the car and forgot to like tell me that it took away the brake fluid. With that data, I got onto a clinical trial testing a new drug that offered the promise to stop cancer on that pathway, and I've shut it down for 2 years now. So genomics-guided medicine is the future, moving away from one-size-fits-all to hyper-segmenting cancer based on the DNA and the molecular abnormality, and then going after that is the future, and Intel's powering all this stuff. It's super exciting.
So the sequencing led you to a treatment when you were really running out of options. How, in your work at Intel, are you seeing that apply more broadly, and how are we bringing this technology out so that many people can benefit from it?
There's a couple things going on. One is, and I kind of look at the whole ecosystem, if you will, of things that are going to need to change. The technology is there, Allison. The technology is there to sequence an individual, and the technology is there to, for the most part, identify the clinically significant mutations that are available. The next part is building awareness. So patients who have cancer can go demand that and ask for it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's one of the things that we're doing is a side project that I have, which is called FACTS. It's Fighting Advanced Cancer Through Songs. And we're just using music as a way to raise awareness for people with advanced cancer to, like, you know what? There's a new way that you can fight cancer. You can go after it in a targeted way with precision medicine, and we want to help you do that through raising awareness and then raising funds, because insurance companies balk sometimes at this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's new. And if you, as a patient, go in and ask for sequencing, it's not cheap. It's not free. There's still a cost associated with it. Intel technology and the economics of this has dropped it significantly. We're now moving to an era of $100 sequencing, but that still has some analytics and costs associated with it. But long story short, we're getting to this perfect storm, if you will, where the costs are going down to where it's going to become affordable enough for more patients to get it. And the payers are starting to see evidence that this can actually move the needle and that they're going to start reimbursing for it. So the big thing right now is awareness.
So awareness in the patient population, awareness within the medical profession. How about the amount of data that needs to be collected, and how are we tackling that?
Yeah, so there's a couple things on that. Genomics data is probably the biggest of big data. If you were to do whole genome sequencing, which you could argue is not really required for cancer, but it is for pediatric, for kids in the NICU who are sick with, like, rare neurodevelopmental disorders. Whole genome and whole exome sequencing is the only way that you can move these parents off of the diagnostic odyssey that they've been on for 10 years or whatever with their kids, $70,000 later, right? When you do that, whole genome sequencing is about 300 gigs of data. Imagine doing that for some kid that's disease is mutating over a year. It's a terabyte of data per patient, but that's just the data. Now you've got to look at how you're going to analyze all this and get it into the point of care, which is going to require a whole ecosystem of data visualization tools to take this data and turn it into something meaningful for doctors. But what I'm really most excited about, I think, from a technology perspective, is without AI and machine learning, we're not going to solve this problem.
Right.
And here's why. So I have prostate cancer, a common cancer. But in genomics world, I now have a PI3K mutant prostate cancer that's been treated with PI3K inhibitors. I'm now a rare cancer. Cancer in the genomics world is going to be hypersegmenting cancer into rare, you know, hypersegmented diseases. Every patient that gets sequenced and gets a targeted treatment will become an N of one or kind of a rare patient. The only way we're going to be able to help these people is find the other people out there in the world that look just like them genomically with treatment and with outcome data. And that's going to require looking at data sets, not only within one hospital, but in many, many, many hospitals, looking at literature that's been written, looking and predicting what kind of biomarkers, both predictive and prognostic, that will match up with this person's DNA against all these different drugs. Humans can't get their minds around it. It's going to be a thing that only machines are going to be able to help solve and turn it into, like, an algorithm marketplace of opportunities for doctors to pick from. And you have this disease, let me look it up in my algorithm and help you identify what's best.
We're making progress with our collaborative cancer cloud, many, many collaborations with medical institutions, different technology companies. But the question that I have for you is, what's next for you?
Yeah.
And how do you see machine learning and AI innovation helping with your treatment?
Yeah, so if we just look at me from a patient personally, so genomics got me to a point where I was able to extend my life. But to really truly save my life, we're going to need more. And kind of just going back to my previous comments, I've now become this rare cancer patient because I've hypersegmented my disease and I'm going after it with drugs. When my cancer starts to grow again, because it will eventually, you know, I've got 2 years out of it, which is an amazing response. Mm-hmm. But if it starts growing again, I'm going to have triggered a new mutation that we don't know much about. Humans aren't going to know much about it. The only way we're going to be able to figure out or infer or even to try to predict how to treat it will be running through massive amounts of machine learning, applying algorithms to this kind of thing, and looking at massive amounts of data. Both the research that's available today with data banks and genomic data banks like the Broad Institute and other places like that, that have a whole lot of data so you can look at this and try to mine it and make some predictions, and then compare that against the people like me that are scattered all over the United States or the world and pull all of this in, right? Mm-hmm. And the technology that Intel is working on to do distributed machine learning and joint genotyping at different institutions, you're right. The stuff we're doing with the Collaborative Cancer Cloud is one example, but it's a pilot, and it's a cool pilot because it taught us how to do this and apply this in a distributed model to other diseases, other hospitals.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of the broader awareness and how to create that within patient populations and medical, what type of information do you know about that you would suggest folks tap into? What kind of programs?
So to reach patients specifically,
yes.
Right? I think it depends on the disease state that you have. But if you have cancer and you have advanced cancer and you're getting frustrated because you're running out of options, I think what you're going to start to see is most of the hospitals that are trying to care for you today are trying to engage with you as a patient because they know the days of going to the hospital as being like going to the DMV. Those days are over because their patient satisfaction scores are going through the tank and this new consumerization of health has taken over. So hospitals are going to try their best to educate and make that data available for patients on what does genomics mean? How do you have a dialogue with your doctor? What is a molecular abnormality? What is targeted therapy? You know, what are those options? On top of that, I think it's going to be other organizations that step in and fill the gap. You know, like the little organization that we set up, this Fighting Advanced Cancer Through Songs. We're reaching out. We have a pretty large community right now of folks on Facebook that have connected with us through music because that's a cool and easy way to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also getting exposed to a new message on how to fight cancer. And there's other communities out there that are emerging like this. Even some of the places like 23andMe or Color or Illumina or Cure Forward.
Sure.
There's other third-party sites that are trying to take patients and match them up with clinical trials and kind of help them make decisions. So there's a lot of opportunity.
Bryce, thanks so much. It's been a real honor to have you on the show.
Oh my gosh, I love Chip Chat. I was so glad that you asked me to come on. So absolutely.
Thanks so much for doing this.
You bet. Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/ChipChat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.